Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside. Episode 22B, Special Gift for Subscribers. Hello and welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth.
This is our special thank you to all those loyal subscribers. It's very informal and we wanted to look back over the last year and thought you might be interested in our reflections and come up with some of your own. So, what do you think you've learnt in the last year?
Oh my goodness, there has just been so much, hasn't there? I think the one thing that's really, really has been overwhelming is the generosity of people.
The people have been amazing, haven't they?
They are absolutely wonderful. There are the artists and contributors out there who have allowed us to show their work on the website. They've allowed us to read from their novels and play their music. And just the listeners in general. I mean, the emails we get are just overwhelming.
Yeah, the feeling of community that we've got with you guys is absolutely astounding. And I, for one, am enriched by that. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's just breathtaking. It really is. We couldn't have seen this.
It was unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah, we didn't see this coming, really, when we first started the podcast.
No, that's true.
And it's wonderful. It's like having this huge extended family across the world. It's lovely.
It is superb. Let's take a little break now with the first of three tracks by Kaylee Moss. This one is called The Lonesome Man's Dance. Welcome back. That was The Lonesome Man's Dance by Kaylee Moss. What do you feel you've learnt about Celtic mythology?
Oh no, I haven't got to talk about that, have I? Actually, it's quite fascinating. The amount we've learnt is fascinating. Obviously, we've only done the mythological cycle. But it's interesting how the bards and the Shanachies have kept the history rolling. Okay, it may have changed depending on which area they were in and who they were telling it to. But basically, the stories are still the same. And we're now actually doing that again.
Yes, I do feel very much that we're part of a living tradition.
Absolutely.
As for myself, I think I didn't know much about Irish mythology before we started. And the learning has been really fascinating. And the one thing that's come through, well, actually, there are loads of things that have come through. But I suppose one of the overriding things is how consistent it is, how there's a continuity of feeling
sure.
throughout the myths. The characters, they may come from different generations, different periods. It's very, very difficult to tell. But the emotion behind it, whether we're talking about animals, as in the latest episode, or the Tuatha De Danann, as in the stories of Lu and the Dagda and all the rest of it, there is this amazing sense of pride.
Absolutely. Yes, it comes
family loyalty.
It comes through actually quite strongly, doesn't it?
It does.
We've had some fun and games translating from Victorian English into modern English. And the sad thing is, I think the more these stories have been translated, the more they've actually lost. I think a lot of the feeling and maybe some of the meanings have actually been lost in translation.
Yeah.
I mean, we've looked at it. We've looked at stories and gone, well, what does that mean?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I wish we had the linguistic skills necessary to bring the full depth of the stories out for everyone.
Yes, yeah. And we both miss that, don't we? We both go, hang on, there's a bit missing here, and we don't quite know how to fill it up.
Yeah.
And we do manage, though. We bumble through.
That's very true. A lot of people look at mythologies as stories of gods, Greek mythology, Roman mythology. Stories of the gods. They were worshipped, they had temples, they did this, they did that, they have pantheons. The Irish myths we've been looking at feel to me to be slightly different.
They're about people.
It feels much more about people. Special people.
Mm-hmm.
People
oh, yes.
with powers and skills that we wouldn't associate normally with ordinary mortals.
But still it's got that feeling of... It has that feeling that you can almost touch them, that you can feel these people. These are normal people. They're not like the gods of Olympus or what have you. We're talking about people that you could meet, that you feel that you're a part of.
Yes. Yes, that's true. It's noticeably different, I think, is where I was going with
that. Yes, certainly it is.
And of course, they are the originators of the Fae.
Mm.
They are Fae, aren't they?
Although there are probably other traditions that are other mythologies that would argue the case, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. We're only looking at one particular culture. And I'm looking forward to seeing when we get to the other Celtic myths, exactly how the Fae come out in them.
Well, yes, absolutely.
And of course, there are other cultures that are non-European that have Fae
absolutely,
in different
such as,
ways.
The one that actually rings bells with me is the Devas from the Indian tales.
The Shining Ones.
And of course, the Shining Ones there, and we've got Shining Ones with the Tuatha De Danann, and it's just like, you know, this whole Indo-European thing makes you wonder where the root is. You know, they're very, very similar.
The Vikings, they have their trolls, giants, elves, dwarves.
Absolutely.
As well as things like the Valkyries.
Oh, yes.
So, it's kind of a worldwide thing.
Let's take another break now with The Foggy Dew by Kaylee Moss.
Eyes down by the glen one Easter moon to a city far out there are lines of marching men inscriptions pass me by no pipes did hum no battle drum did some need its loud tattoo But the angel has fell over the fist well, rang out in a fugitive. Right pretty high in Dublin town, they flung out a flag of woe. 'Twas better to die near an Irish sky than a silver saddlebone. And from the plains of a royal maid, strong men came in hurrying through, while Britannia's hands with their long-range guns sailed in for the fugitive. But a bravest fight and a requiem bell rang more fully and clear for those who died at Eastertide in the springtime of the year. While the world did gaze in deep amaze at those fearless men but few, who bore the fight so that freedom's light might shine for the fugitive. How back to the glen I rode again, and my heart with grief was sore. For I parted then with valiant men, whom I never shall see more. But to and fro in my dreams I'll go, and I'll kneel and pray for you. From slavery fled, oh valiant dead, when you fell in the fugitive.
Welcome back. That was Foggy Dew by Kaylee Moss.
Have you seen any signs of a coherent religious practice?
Not really, have we? Until Christianity started to be introduced in the tales, in the later tales.
Yeah,
we haven't seen anything that says this was practiced or this was done. I mean, druids are mentioned.
There are hints and clues, aren't there?
There is, but there's no actually cohesive...
No, so that's not an easy question to answer. And you've raised another interesting point. What about this introduction of Christianity? That was obviously something that was very important.
Absolutely.
To the later Celts. How do you feel about that?
Well, thinking that the monks are the people who wrote these down, you know, the very early monks.
Sure.
And you have to ask yourself how much they coloured these stories.
The other thought that occurs to me, and it only has occurred to me in the last couple of days, is that the monks were Celts.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, they were Celts.
They just had a slightly different opinion, a different religious view.
However, I still believe that these views would have coloured what they'd written.
Sure.
For these stories. It's quite interesting to see how the pagan ways are overtaken by the Christian ways. The time we really did see that was the Children of Lear, which spoke about swans.
That's right.
And swans often represent the earth goddess.
Sure.
And so we heard about these swans going through all sorts of traumas and trying to keep together as family and this sort of thing. And in the end, it was Christianity that saved them. And it was Christianity that they turned to. So I thought that was very interesting.
It is, isn't it?
I thought that was a very good allegory of how Christianity took over from paganism.
Yeah,
at that time.
Absolutely. And making no judgments about it, I think what we're hearing from these old tales is very much a history of the myth and the time that the myths were written down in.
Oh, absolutely.
Which makes it even harder to actually dig out the truth from between the words.
Yes, absolutely. Although I find it quite interesting to hear about the saints in Ireland and the monks and what they were doing. It's a fascinating piece of history to hear what they were doing and how they were out there spreading the word. I mean, life for them couldn't have been very easy, to be honest with you.
No, that's very true.
We know that that they were out there trying to convert people who were possibly not the most friendly people on earth.
I don't know. As you've just spoken about the Children of Lear, has brought back another thought. That's a prime example of how full these tales are of symbology.
Absolutely.
There are so many symbols in them. When you're trying to understand the ancient Celts, not only have you got to try and pull apart the different societies and changes and time periods, but also the symbolic from the, well, I suppose actual, for want of a better term.
But then that was how people remembered. That's why they used symbols, didn't they? It was easier to remember a symbol than a name or a person. No? Yes? Yeah. Memory aid? Yeah. Yes? You're looking at me blankly.
That's yeah. because my brain froze.
I mean, the other thing is we've got the birds, obviously, are symbols, but we've also got stags and we've got salmon. And, of course, the salmon being the salmon of knowledge. And also the wise sage and the person in our recent story that's lived the longest.
Yes, yes. I was reading some of John Matthews's book on the sacred animals. And one of the things that he says is that the ancient Celtic tribes used to have an animal totem. So
right.
you'd have an eagle clan, perhaps, or sure. a crane clan, wolf clan, bear clan. And I think some archaeological evidence bears this out. They've seen standards with animals on and so on.
That's right,
they?
Yes. I think we've seen yeah. something. And the are they currat? Well, oh, no, I can't remember what they're called. What are the horns called? Now, we have hippos.
Carynx or carynx.
Carynx. The carynx have animal symbols on them as well. I've seen pictures of that.
Ah, no, I haven't. My point being that if the animals are also totem animals, then often when we're hearing about the animals in tales and their activities, we may well be hearing about the activities of certain tribes.
Absolutely, yes. Certain clans.
And, you know, the salmon clan would be the one who bore the knowledge.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And maybe the swan clan would be the one who gave praise to the goddess and looked after the goddess temples, maybe.
Yeah, all those are possibilities.
Mm. The other thing I have to say, although it's off the subject of the mythology, is how we've got used to actually talking into microphones.
Yeah.
It was just scary when we first started, wasn't it?
But yeah, that's true. And it was.
I mean, considering these microphones are set up in our lounge, in our space, I mean, when we first started, it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. Even now, I can look at it and go, oh, no, here we go again. But once we get into it, I enjoy it, I have to say.
Perhaps I'm just an exhibitionist. I just love it. technically, I think we've learned a lot, and there's still so much more to learn on improving the quality of our sound.
Yes, I think we've come quite a long way, though, from the beginning. And it has been, it's been quite a steep learning curve for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. You should see our routine when we start off. The first thing we do is make sure that all the clocks have been removed from the room because they're ticking annoys us. And then Ruthie will rush around, try and catch the cats in order to remove the bells with the collars with the bells on. And then it's, where's the dog? Because you know he's going to start scratching. Or... it's true, though, isn't it?
That's
we
right,
have a complete
yeah.
routine for trying to and lower the noise floor.
You or I will run upstairs if the others are in and say, OK, we're about to recording. Can you put headphones on, please?
Or yeah, yeah, shut your doors.
The whole house comes to a standstill to yeah. do the recording.
The other thing I've learned is that the actual recording is only a fraction of the time that we spend in making a show.
Oh, absolutely.
Initially, we estimated it would take a week to script, record, edit and release a
yeah.
show. And that's still about true.
Although it does take a little more time with the specials, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, with everything else we do with chatting to people and keeping up with the myths and the stories and the blog and the forum. We've pretty much got a full week.
Yeah. I suppose the good thing to say is that we've learned how to pace ourselves.
Yes, we are learning. That's very true.
Not to take on too much and yet to keep our schedules full.
Yes. And that's not difficult, really.
No.
To be honest.
No, it's not.
And once you add family and grandchildren and what have you in there, it's,
yeah.
You know, we do work.
Do find ourselves with very full lives.
Yes, we certainly do.
The other thing I've learned is that I'm finally doing what I'm meant to be doing. I'm loving this.
Yes.
This
yeah.
is absolutely great.
It's wonderful. And it's nice to be able to do it. It's nice that we can do it and share it with other people. I think
that's
we
what
both
it
enjoy
is.
It, but it's the fact that we can actually share it with others and they enjoy it as much as we do.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. I mean, we started it because we wanted to learn more about the tales.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're doing that. We're doing that. We've now, it's still hard to put the names and places and things like that back into place, but we've got a feeling for the Irish tales that we've covered so far.
Yes. And yes, I think we have. We definitely have. And we're learning along with our listeners. I mean, the other thing to remember is that our listeners haven't been listening from show one last January. Some of them have only started recently listening.
Yeah, that's true.
So they
that's
haven't true. Heard all the shows, or they've only recently heard all the shows.
That's true.
And so they're learning with us.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear any insights you have on the tales, folks. Any of the things we've discussed today, if you want to send us an email, if you've got any insights or any thoughts on it, please do.
Oh, yes, please do. We're fully aware of the fact that there are experts out there. We are not experts. There are people that are well versed in the study of Celtic lore and Celtic archaeology and Celtic society
and Celtic mythology.
Yeah. And if you are one of these people and want to talk to us,
yeah,
please do. Please do.
Yeah,
we're just too eager to learn.
And it's just wonderful to be able to do this, although, like you say, people do need to know that we are actually amateurs at this. We're kind of the same people they are, and we're learning on the same way. I'm aware that we occasionally get emails where I think, oh my goodness, I don't understand the question, let alone know how to answer it.
Yeah, that's true. All you can do is your best.
Well, that's right.
All you can do is your best.
That's right.
What else do you think you've learned?
What I have learned is there's some absolutely beautiful music out there.
Oh, yes.
We
and
have
isn't there just
come across such absolutely beautiful music, things that probably people wouldn't know about, and I'm so pleased that we've got to share these amazingly talented artists with our listeners. To be honest with you,
yeah, because as you're discovering them, we are as well.
Yes,
our music library has grown a little bit, hasn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, there's been some great music.
We're really, really lucky. And the fact that everybody is so, so nice.
Yeah.
You know, we have wonderful conversations with people. We've built up relationships with people across the world.
Yeah, and I hope those relationships last longer than the life of the podcast, to be honest with you. Because they're things that I value.
Yes, yes. And, of course, what we must remember is that we're not the only ones who've, although we kind of do the meat of the pod show, we're not the only ones who actually take part in it.
That's true.
There's our children who we grab occasionally and say, please read this line for us. and of course, they are now very busy with their own lives.
They are.
They're growing up, and this year they're leaving home.
Yes, so we might have to collar them an evening now and again for a bit of recording.
Absolutely. So
don't move too far. We know at least one of them's going off to university in possibly another town.
Yes, it's possible. So if you've probably heard less of them recently, and that's why they've got university and college and their own lives to get on with, and they've got to the age now where they want to spread their own wings.
Sure. And good luck to them.
Absolutely.
Good luck to them.
Absolutely. It's kind of sad, me being mummy. I mean, who am I going to cluck round, you know? I'm sure I'll...
Yes. You put your feathers away around me.
But that's all right, because we've got a granddaughter I can cluck at, which is great.
Let's take our final break now with Shularun by Kaylee Moss.
It's got a warning slow. Sure, 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 go sucker on, sure, go kill. Sure, go to the song, it's silly glow. It's got a warning slow. I'll sell my rock, I'll sell my ring, I'll sell my spinning wheel to buy me love, this sort of sting. yesterday to avoid it slow. Shula, 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 run. She'll go sucker up, she'll go kill. She'll go under a soggy silly glow. Yesterday to avoid it slow. Yesterday to a morning song. Sure, 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 run. Sure, go sucker up, sure, go kill. Sure, go under a soggy silly glow. Yesterday to a
thanks for joining us again. That was Shula Run by Kaylee Moss. Wrapping this up then, what kind of things would you like to see happen in the next year? Where would you like to see us go in the next year?
That's a very good question. We intend to go on with the Welsh Myths. I think they're winning in the polls at the moment.
I think they are. It looks more and more like, and they have been ahead for quite a while now, it looks like the Welsh Myths are our next direction.
So I'm really, really looking forward to those, because I don't know those. I know the Irish Myths better than I know the Welsh Myths.
Sure.
Now, I know you know the Welsh Myths better than the Irish.
Yeah.
So to me, this is going to be an adventure. I'm going to enjoy this. Like I said, I did know some of the Irish Myths already. But the Welsh Myths, I'm looking forward to learning.
Oh, I'll tell you what I've learned.
What's that?
I've learned that in the last year, no matter how much I try, I still can't do an Irish accent.
No, but you do a really good Scottish one.
I don't know about that.
And I can do an Irish accent, but I can't do a Scottish accent to save my life. So
you wait till we get to the Scottish Miss, you'll have to then.
What I have to do is I pick up accents very, very quickly. So what I'm going to have to do is find Scottish podcasts, Welsh podcasts, so I can pick up the accent.
And
for our shows.
Sure. One of the things I think I'd like to see next year is see if we can get a few more people involved now and again.
Yes, that would
I know
be great.
That we've got someone that wants to pop along and read a bit of Gawain and the Green Knight for you.
Oh, yes. He's quite eager about that, isn't he?
So yeah, so that'd be good.
That'll be coming up in the future.
Yeah, I hope that happens.
We've also got a lady who has very kindly offered to read a children's story about...
Oh, yes. Is it Alison?
Alison from a local theatre company. You'll see a blog turn up on the website about her and her theatre company soon. And we're considering for the future producing a particular podcast just for the children. So it will only be one episode to start with, and see how that goes and see if people like, you know, if the kids like what we're doing. I mean, if they don't, we'll go back to the general family stuff.
Yeah, again, that goes back to something else that we've learned, in that even with translating the English, some of the language in our shows can still be quite hard to follow.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The best way I've found to listen to them is to let it wash over you. Relax and let it wash over you.
Can you tell he listens to it in bed at night? Yeah, so I'm kind of looking forward to the children's shows. There's an awful lot of authors out there who have done fairy stories, both Victorian fairy stories, which will be fun to read. And there's some good modern pieces out there as well.
Yeah, there are. yeah, a children's show would be a really good thing to do.
Yes.
That would be a nice direction to go in.
If you think this is a good idea, please email us. Let us know. We'd really like to hear if you think a children's episode would be good.
Yeah, what are your feelings? Because that's what we think, but, you know, you guys are really important too.
And would you play them to your children? You know, is it the sort of thing that you would say to the kids, OK, well, let's sit down and we can listen to these stories? Is it the sort of thing your kids are interested in? Maybe they'd, you know, maybe they'd rather be playing computer games or out with their friends or watching TV. Do let us know what you think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hope you've enjoyed our little informal chat and it's given you some food for thought, and hopefully that you can get back to us and we'll carry it on. This has been a little special just for the subscribers. It won't be appearing on the website, it will only be in the feed. It's our way of saying thank you to you. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time and trouble to subscribe. So with those thoughts, thank you and shalom gavoy.
Shalom gavoy.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode.
The music in today's show has been taken from Kaylee Moss's album On the Shore, which is available from www.jamendo.com. Search for Kaylee Moss, CEILIMOSS.
We'd like to say a special thank you to Kulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. You heard Haghole at the beginning and are listening to The Skylark now. You can find out more about this foot-stomping band at www.sfhounds.com. And thanks again to Diane Arkinstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used for some of the incidental music in this podcast. You'll find links to their websites in our show notes.